Good morning. It's Monday, May 11th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. The ball is firmly back in President Trump's court. He's rejected Iran's latest counteroffer. So what now? A tighter naval blockade on Iran's ports or a return to all-out war? And what about Hezbollah and Hamas, both yet to be disarmed? Well, today's guest is Michael Eisenberg. He's a general partner at the investment firm Aleph and an advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu. He says the world now sees more clearly what Israel is dealing with. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first your headlines. President Trump has dismissed Iran's response to his proposal to end the war, calling it totally unacceptable. Iran says its counteroffer was legitimate and generous. It wants an end to the war, a lifting of the blockade on its ports, and the release of frozen assets. Tehran also warned European countries against sending warships to the strait to support maritime security. Prime Minister Netanyahu will convene a security meeting later today to discuss the situation. Beijing has strongly opposed US plans to sanction Chinese companies over alleged support for Iran, calling the measures illegal and unilateral. The US Treasury has sanctioned 10 entities in China and Hong Kong, accusing them of supplying Iran with the materials used to make drones and missiles, as well as intelligence that was used in attacks on American forces. The move comes days before President Trump visits China, with analysts saying it increases pressure on Beijing to push Iran towards signing a deal with Washington. Israel's defense minister has praised an IDF reservist who was killed in a Hezbollah drone strike. 47-year-old warrant officer Alexander Glovenyov from Petah Tikva was killed on Sunday when an explosive drone hit near the border community of Manara. Defense Minister Katz said Glovenyov had served out of a strong sense of mission. He is the fifth Israeli soldier to be killed in southern Lebanon since the ceasefire began. Lebanese Prime Minister Nawaf Salam says his country is open to peace with Israel, but only after key conditions have been met. In an interview with Al Arabiya, he said Beirut would first require a ceasefire and full Israeli withdrawal from Lebanese territory before any discussions on broader peace arrangements. Preliminary talks between Israel and Lebanon continue in Washington. The European Union is expected to approve new sanctions on Israeli settlers accused of violence in the West Bank after a political shift in Hungary removed a long-standing veto. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas said ministers will aim to reach an agreement today on sanctions targeting individuals and groups accused of violence against Palestinians. The move had previously been blocked by former Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Following his electoral defeat by Peter Magyar, EU officials say the veto is likely to be lifted. Member states do remain divided, though, on broader measures against Israel, including potential restrictions on trade. Israel is moving ahead with plans for a major domestic natural gas storage facility following repeated wartime shutdowns of offshore fields. The Energy Ministry says the project will ensure a continuous and secure supply of gas during emergencies and peak demand. The facility could store more than 2 billion cubic meters of gas. It follows temporary shutdowns of Israel's offshore fields during recent conflicts, which had raised concerns about energy resilience. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. Just contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. We'll be happy to hear from you. Now, here's Michael Eisenberg. Iran is doing what it does best, wasting everybody's time with a counter proposal that it knows nobody can accept. How do we break this gridlock?
I don't know is the first answer, but I think in general, against people who are procrastinators and terrorists, you probably need to show fortitude. Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump have shown fortitude. I mean, just look at President Trump's moral and strategic clarity and his ability to bring in people by negotiating and at the same time hold his lines firm. As a businessman myself, I can tell you that's the way to negotiate a deal. And I think hopefully President Trump will get to a deal that takes out all the uranium, like he said himself, which is let's go in and take the uranium, the enriched material, remove Iran's stranglehold on the Strait of Hormuz. We cannot have a situation for the world economy where this regime stays intact and threatens its neighbors and the global economy through Strait of Hormuz. And they've shown they're going to do it. Everything that we've suspected about Iran has actually been shown to be true. They support terrorist proxies around the world. They would fire not only on Israel, but on their Gulf neighbors, on Europe because they fired at Diego Garcia so they can fire in Europe. And they would fire at the great Satan, which is the United States. We also know that they engage in economic terrorism.
Do you think President Trump has shown fortitude, though? Some say Iran senses weakness. He didn't act after the Iranians attacked the UAE.
I think his Truth Social post and tweet this morning saying, "That's not the answer you should be giving me," is very clear. President Trump is a effective and wily negotiator. He's brought real business acumen to this, unlike some feckless leaders before in other parts of the world and in the United States. He hasn't bent the knee to this regime, and I think that's worthy of admiration.
Do you believe the Israeli intelligence that this regime is on the verge of collapse because of the economic pressure?
I have no idea as to whether on the verge of collapse. What I do know is nobody predicts collapses in advance. They surprise all of us, whether it's Ceausescu in Romania or Assad in Syria, or even the people of Iran coming out 6 months after Midnight Hammer and Rising Lion 6 months ago. No one saw that coming. You know, the Talmud says that after the destruction of the Second Temple, only fools have prophecy. So I intend not to be a fool.
Let's talk about the North. Another IDF soldier has been killed. 18 soldiers since February. At the same time, President Trump is pushing a diplomatic process. Is that tying Israel's hands?
Look, Israel is not at war with the people of Lebanon or the government of Lebanon. Never have been. We've been at war with an Iranian proxy called Hezbollah for years. And the world has let this go on for years. We've degraded the rocket capabilities, but you know, these are unrepentant terrorists like the Iranians, and Hamas are unrepentant terrorists. And they pulled a new trick out of the bag called these suicide drones attached with fiber optic cables. They're very, very lethal. It's terrible, and it needs to be stopped. I trust the Prime Minister of Israel is going to put a stop to this. Can it be negotiated? Yeah, maybe. Can Hezbollah survive this? The answer is no, not if they're going to be Hezbollah, an unrepentant terrorist organization.
You've been talking a lot about Hamas. As you rightly point out, they continue to refuse to disarm as they are supposed to. Who, other than the IDF, will go in and take their weapons away?
Time will tell on that. Where we're at right now is Hamas is just non-compliant. But now the whole world knows, including the mediators. They've been trying for many, many months to get comply. They haven't complied. Two things. One, Hamas not compliant. Two is that President Trump and the architects of the 20-point plan, which include Jared Kushner and Special Envoy Witkoff, saw this coming because there's a point 17 in the plan, which says what happens if Hamas doesn't comply? Well, the Board of Peace can take unilateral action, which is sanctioned by a UN resolution. And so they saw this coming. They understood who Hamas was. Nobody was fooled. By the way, that's what great negotiators do.
Are you worried about some nefarious actors involved in the future of Gaza? Egypt and Qatar would like to see Hamas survive in some form.
I don't think that Egypt and Qatar want to see Hamas survive. Look, Qatar threw Hamas out of Qatar. I expect the people who sign on the 20-point plan of the president says that Hamas must disarm. We have full expectation that they will be a productive in doing this. We're sitting on 50% of Gaza right now. Hamas is significantly degraded and longer, right now at least, poses a threat. But, you know, they can rearm themselves and they can slowly build themselves back. And we need to be absolutely vigilant and aggressive to ensure that they don't.
You are a passionate advocate for Aliyah, encouraging Jews around the world to move here to Israel. With all the conflict, why would people give up their comfortable lives in Europe or the United States to come and live in Israel?
I would say three things. Number one, Jews have been comfortable in many places, many times in history. Unfortunately, I say with a lot of sadness, that doesn't last. Number two, comfort is not a life aspiration. Meaning and meaningfulness is a life aspiration. Life is significantly more meaningful for Jews and other people here in Israel. And number three, you know, Jonathan Haidt has written extensively about this generation of kids on screens, particularly in the United States, a generation that's kind of lost. I wrote a post at the beginning of the war, I think it was in November 2023, which referred to this generation of kids as in Israel as the defining generation. If the greatest generation of Americans was the World War II veterans, the defining generation of Israel is this generation. You want to know where the greatest place on earth is to raise gritty kids, kids with meaningful life, kids who take responsibility, kids who actually want to do something and have real agency. You know where that place is? One place in the world, and that is Israel. I wrote this in my most recent book, With the Israeli Heroes. Israel will be a model for the entire world. When you see Kemi Benedok, the leader of the Conservative Party, stand up and not only fight back against anti-Semitism, talk positively about Israel, it's because she knows that the next generation of Brits should be like Zionist Israelis. kids with agency, kids with ambition, kids with technological superiority, and kids who are willing to defend the values that matter for them. So I think Zionism is spreading. People who want to be true to their countries, people who want to raise gritty kids and kids with high agency, Israel is the place. So come, you'll find out.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.